Welcome to 222 Paranormal Podcast. I'm your host tonight, Joe. Jen is off again. She's doing something really good tonight. She is taking Mom to church. They are having a healing mass at church, and Mom asked Jen to take her, so she said yes. And I had the interview all scheduled with Goose tonight, so it's just me and Goose tonight for you, folks. So, on tonight's show, we do have Goose with us. He is the host of the Cryptid Paranormal Show, which comes out every Thursday night from 8 to 9 o'clock. So, let's bring Goose in here, and let's start the show. Hey, man, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Thanks for having me on. It's we've known each other a while. It's about time.
Yeah.
We've talked like this, man.
It's been about 6 years now that we've been like, every time
I've
see
seen
you,
all the cons.
Yeah. I'm like, you got to be on the show one of these days. And you're always like, just let me know when. I'm like,
yeah. I get it, man. It's hard remembering who you talk to, and we have so many friends in this circle. You can lose track pretty quick.
Yeah, I go, YouTube, but I go to the conventions and I'll get a list of cards, and I'll even write on the back of the card, talk to them at this time, and that about 2 weeks later, you're like, I forgot all about them,
Yeah.
But it's like that when we're on the road all the time, and it kind of overlaps itself.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it's like we cut back a lot this year. We're only doing a few conventions, but I'm still visiting a lot of them.
And oh, that's cool.
We had a chance a couple of weeks ago. We were at the Potographs in Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Yeah.
That was a great show, and you guys did a great job there. I guess they raised a lot of good money for the pets. And
yes, they did. It was fun.
Yeah. But so I know I've known you for years, but our listeners really are not familiar with you. You're a great guy. You got a great show, the Cryptic Paranormal Show. I've checked it out a bunch of times. You got some great co-hosts. You got Weisberg and D-Nice with you, and you guys just you really do mesh good, and it is a good show, and everybody's got to check it out. But
I appreciate that.
Tell our listener, and I know this is kind of a standard question we always start with, but tell our listener, how did you develop your passion for the paranormal and actually becoming a podcaster?
Well, as far as the paranormal, I mean, it started for me, and it sounds pretty cliche, but I grew up, we moved to a house when I was like 10 years old. We moved into a new house, and it wasn't like an old, like historical house, but it was, maybe built in the 60s, but it had some history to it as far as the previous owners. But, me and my brother growing up, we were just experiencing a lot of weird stuff that we couldn't explain. My parents, were always explaining it away. There's nothing to be afraid of. Plus we were involved with a church that, if you believe in that kind of stuff, you were shunned.
Yeah.
They would bring you up in front of the congregation and pray for you. And, basically do like their version of an exorcism or something crazy like that. But so it's like we were afraid to talk to our parents about it. So we just kind of had to figure out our own ways of dealing with it. And my way was sneaking into the library and finding books by Hans Holzer and Lloyd Auerbach and, some of the greater minds in the field, and just kind of reading on it myself, learning theories, why things like this might be happening. And they were all just theories. And it was much later on. We dealt with that. I moved out of there when I was about 18, and I moved back for a little bit. But in that course of time, I had gone away to college for a little bit. And when I came back, I was sleeping in my bedroom, and all of a sudden I woke up and there's these two shadow figures hovering over me, looking down. I didn't feel I felt repressed, but I think it was just the energy of what was going on. I could move my hands and stuff, but it was just transfixed on these two figures.
Mm-hmm.
And one definitely looked like a male. The other one had longer hair, so I assumed it was a female. And it was weird. We knew we knew that the children in the home, they were actually, they weren't children. They were like older teenagers. They were driving. They had actually were killed in a car accident.
Okay.
Probably like two years before we moved in. You know, the mom and dad, they ended up getting a divorce. They just were having a hard time dealing with the law. So they sold the house. We moved in. And it was just kind of weird. Like the story kind of like circulates back many years later after I had started actual investigating. We were doing like a public ghost hunt at where I, in a town that I grew up in, and at their historical society out in Shalersville, Ohio.
Okay.
And it was funny, just kind of date me, and like a lot of the members of the historical society now are people that I went to high school with. So yeah. It's like, you know, we're just kind of carrying the torch now. But I was speaking to people that knew the family. And they were giving me more information than I had knew originally. And they told me where the accident happened. And it actually, I find out that it happened literally not even a half a mile away from the house I was living in before I moved into that house. And I remember, and they like, it just like shot, you know, things that happen in your normal day life, you know, are weird. You kind of forget about them after a time. Then it's like this like memory just shot into my brain. I remember the cops and the firemen, the ambulances from all around, like the cities around, and the life helicopter actually landed in the field of our house.
Okay.
And this was for those kids, and it was just like weird.
Yeah.
We ended up moving into their house, and it, I also remember too, we were outside playing when this all was happening. We're just kind of watching, me and my little brother, and you know, we just see like these two kids walking up the street, kind of just looking kind of dazed. And they just look strange to me. And I didn't really think about it. I was a kid. I just thought there were two kids maybe checking out what just happened. But it just, after that, I just kind of seeing them in my mind's eye after so long about rethinking about this experience. I'm like, was that them?
Yeah.
Was that like their spirits like walking back to their house? Because it's only like maybe another mile and a half away from where we currently live. So just this weird circle of events, man. And so like I said, I just started reading and researching myself, and it just kind of put me at ease. Like I wasn't crazy. Mm-hmm. Didn't make, you know, it just kind of normalized the whole thing for me. And then, you know, I kept interested in it, and I watched TV shows and stuff. And it was much later, I think right about like season two or three, when Ghost Hunters came out, I was dating my wife at the time. And we're watching the show. I'm like, holy crap. I didn't know you could actually like go do this. Like you could pay money and go like do your own research and go to these places. I'm like, holy crap. So it was much later that I actually started like going out and like investigating on my own. It started with just a group of friends from work. We would started doing like, we did like the public ghost hunt at Mansfield.
Yeah.
And like every few months we'd just make this big trip and go do things. Then I joined a group. I went to a local paranormal convention and met a guy who ran a group, and I went to that group. And then we all know you go through a couple groups.
Oh yeah.
You know, just drama and just things change and people have to leave or they just disband for whatever reason. So that's what happened. We broke up for kind of differences in opinion on how we do things. The guy who ran it, like I understood what he was going for, but we spent more time trying to debunk like one piece of activity that we might've documented instead of actually continuing the investigation and finding pieces of the puzzle. He wasn't into experimentation with different types of equipment and stuff. And it was just like, I learned a lot from you, and I appreciate him letting me into the group. And like, we're still good friends, but I'm like, I need to like expand. Mm-hmm. Like I need to go and be able to experiment more and kind of decide for myself what I think is paranormal or normal. And so we ended up forming a division of like a Northeast Ohio division of Dark Alley Paranormal Society. They're based out of Columbus. We were friends with them. We had investigated with them a couple times already. And he's like, why don't you guys just start your own chapter up there in like the Akron, Cleveland area? So we're like, sweet. That was a great opportunity for us. Through that, you know, we were able to make some really close relationships with some local historical haunted locations. And, you know, we're like a family now. Mm-hmm. You know, there's only like four or five of us. There's a couple of like associate members, we call them, that, you know, when we go on bigger hunts, they're usually down to like, you know, go check those out. But I mean, we did, you know, we do the occasional, going into like people's personal yeah, homes,
residential,
residential cases. Those are few and far between, because we've been duped too many times.
Yeah.
By people. But mostly we just work really close with a lot of the local historical, you know, haunted, notoriously haunted places. Mm-hmm. And, so that's kind of like where I'm at right now. And we do it when we can, but the podcast right now, the paranormal podcast we do, is really kind of my baby. Cause I could do this from home. I can talk to people. I can learn from people, share ideas. Mm-hmm. We have a lot of fun in the meantime.
Yeah.
So the Cryptic Paranormal Show, I've actually lost count. I think I've been involved with the show for like, I think 6 years.
Okay.
Last year was our 5 year anniversary.
All right.
And the way that started, it wasn't my podcast to begin with. Mm-hmm. They had invited me, gentleman named Steve invited me to be on his show with his co-host Lauren. And, after my interview, they're like, we need you on the show. We just gelled. We got along really well. It's like, you just add something that, like, they said I added kind of the comedic adding to it.
Okay.
You know, just making sure it was having fun. But, so that went on for about a year, year and a half. And then Lauren had to leave for, you know, family reasons, because we didn't get paid for this. We actually paid to do it, because mm-hmm. we were using a local internet radio station studio. So we were paying rent to do our show. Yeah. So she had things, you know, her daughter was growing up. She had to move for a job. So she had to leave. And then eventually Steve like kind of started having to phase out for things going on with him and his life. You know, he just didn't have time for it anymore. So when he decided to leave, he's like, Goose, you know, this is your baby now. If you want to run with it, keep the show name, since it's already established. So I kind of took it and I just ran with it. My buddy and my paranormal teammate, Michael Bradley, we call Heisenberg.
Okay.
He was already hanging out in the studio and kind of hopping on here and there and hanging out with us on the show. And then eventually our friend Denise Smith, who is a volunteer up at Madison Seminary, we had her on the show a couple times and she loved it.
Yeah.
And she had a lot of downtime because of COVID, so she wasn't working, and she was like, to make sure she was at home with her kids and, mm-hmm. you know, taking care of them while they're doing homeschooling and stuff like that. So we've been together ever since. And it's been a ride, man. We've talked to some amazing people. We've had some shows where it's just the three of us and we just like interact with the chat room. Mm-hmm. We have a pretty good following. We love our listeners. So we just have a good time, man. We talk about everything. It's just not just the ghosts anymore. It's cryptics. It's UFOs. It's a mix of things. Sometimes we talk about sandwiches, you know. It's just whatever happens on
haunted
the show,
sandwiches. So. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, you know, like I talk to people and they're like, well, what part of your podcast is about, or what's it about? I'm like, everything, you know.
Yeah.
When people think about the paranormal, they always think about ghosts. It's like, no, paranormal is everything. And the more we do it, the more we learn, the less we know. There's so much out there, and there, you know, you go down rabbit holes, like you won't believe doing this stuff. And, you know, a lot of people are like, well, you know, we talk to you and you seem like you know a lot. And I always say, well, I know a lot of little things, because we have to learn something new every week,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I know it's the same with you guys, but I was checking out your shows for a few years now, and it's, like I said, you guys really gel good together, and that's what makes a good show. It's not, you guys, how do I want to put it? You're equal. I see some shows where there's one dominant person that's, I'm in charge. It's like, no, just get on, have fun, and that's what you guys do.
No, and everything kind of gels, like you said, and we're just like, it helps that we were already good friends outside mm-hmm. of the show. And, you know, we've worked with each other. Like when we can volunteer at Madison, we try to help out. And, you know, we've worked with each other before. So it's having that already going into the show. And like, I'd never call them my co-hosts. They're just hosts.
Yeah.
My friends that are on the show with me. You know what I mean? It's, you know, a lot of times, you know, like if I'm struggling, I'm tired, you know, sometimes it's hard to ask questions and you're not like your brain as much as you want to be. Your brain's not into the show that particular night. So like Denise can feed off that. And she starts doing a lot of the questioning. And Heisenberg's funny. He doesn't really talk, but some nights he's like on it. And, you know, he's always good for the quick, you know, joke here and there to make everybody laugh at a smart ass comment. But, you know, it's just, we have fun and it's super not scripted. We don't do a whole lot of like research if it's somebody we haven't had on before, because we want everything to be fresh.
Yeah.
We want to like be learning with our audience about what this person is about and what they do and how they do things. So, you know, it's just, and again, it's sometimes, I mean, we've had people on like Dustin Parry, Heather Taddy, and we end up talking about just normal stuff, like, and just cracking jokes and having a good time, and people enjoy it.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, it kind of makes them feel like they're part of the conversation. I know, you know, podcasting is very intimate. You're talking to one person, basically. Mm-hmm. That person has got, you know, their earbuds in, and they're talking to one person. And it's that's what's so cool, because it becomes a conversation. And they're going to learn something as you go, too.
Right.
You know? And,
right. And that's what, like, I mean, ours, I mean, I don't really consider what we do a podcast. It's more of a live stream show.
Mm-hmm.
Because we used to do it, like I used to take the time and like extract all the audio and try to edit it and put it on Spreaker so it goes out to all the like the iHearts and the Spotify and stuff. But we kind of stopped doing that and just focusing on the live show.
Okay.
Because it's what we enjoy. And even like, especially like if I mess up something, everybody gets a crack out of it.
Yeah.
You know, if I say something stupid, everybody laughs and has a good time. And I'm like, okay, you got me. You know, we pick on each other, so we just let it go. It's just raw and fun, and you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One thing I wanted—you brought up that you saw some shadow figures.
Yeah.
What do you think shadow figures really are? I mean, what's your opinion on those?
Oh my gosh, that is such a good question. That's a rabbit hole that we've dove down so many times with different people. I mean, I think sometimes it's just. It's something as simple as a spirit trying to manifest itself. Mm-hmm. But then you can get in the conversation of like interdimensional beings.
Yeah.
Like, or like at like a time lapse type of thing where you're seeing the shadow of somebody on the other side of this time band. You know, maybe you see the shadow, they're still in their time, but we're in our time. And all we could see really is the shadow of that person or that thing. But interdimensional, it could be anything. I mean, people see shadow figures outside in the middle of nowhere, and it's like, okay, maybe that's some kind of ET trying to kind of, you know, block itself completely from our view, but let us know that it's there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it could be so many things, man. It's probably all those things for all we know.
Yeah, we don't know.
Or none of those things. Mm-hmm. Right.
I mean, my latest theory, I was thinking about this, is, you know, we talk about how ghosts or spirits are energy beings or energy and how we get cold spots and stuff like that. It popped in my mind about a month ago. I'm like, wait a minute, maybe those shadow figures are the spirits, but everything is energy and there's energy in the air. Maybe we're seeing the shadow because they're drawing that energy out of the air.
Yeah.
And it's leaving a void, which turns like a shadow. And that's why it's cold also, because, you know, I mean, I've experienced a lot of shadow figures in my time. And I always thought they were always like hiding around the corners and that, until the one night, sort of like yourself, I woke up in the middle of the night with a 7-foot shadow figure leaning over me on the bed. And it was, it blocked out the light. And same thing with when we were in my sister's house, me and Jen were in the kitchen talking and a shadow figure went by. And I swear to God, it was just like this, which just walked by like that, where it blocked out everything.
Oh, wow.
And it kind of made me think, you know, okay, wait a minute. If they are like interdimensional beings hiding or just watching or that, they, I guess they wouldn't be see-through or wouldn't be, you know, solid mm-hmm. like there. So, yeah, that's one of those things that one of the big rabbit holes we always go down is shadow mm-hmm. figures because you don't know, you know. And yeah. Just like ghosts, we don't know what ghosts really are. You know, no. We have so many theories.
Yeah, there's so many theories. And I've been on other shows where they'll just ask me straight up, what do you think a ghost is? And mm-hmm. I'm like, I'll tell you what I tell everybody. Three words, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But that's why I keep doing this, because it's fun trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
And coming up with theories. And, mm-hmm. you know, will I ever figure it out? Will anybody ever figure it out? I don't know.
Hopefully, yeah, we will, but we'll be on the other side and we can't tell anybody.
Right. So that's our goal. So when we got to get enough knowledge to figure out how we can contact the living mm-hmm. when we're on the other side. Yeah. Like, hey, listen, this is real. This is what we are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just one of them things. And like you said, that's why we do this. That's why the intrigue yeah. and the other reason we do it is because we get in places that nobody else can get into. A lot of the locations yeah. And I'm with you. I mean, I know you do some residential. I don't do any residential at all.
Yeah.
I still consider myself a ghost hunter. You know, I'm not doing the months of research before I go into a location. I just pay and go.
Right.
Because I enjoy it. You know?
Right. Right. If I do any, like, before when we, the only time we did, like, deep dive historical research was when we were doing residentials.
Mm-hmm.
Just so we had something to go off of. But now, like, when I go to, like, these bigger places that we spend a lot of times, a lot of money mm-hmm. to get into, I want to be surprised. Like, yeah. I'm always the first person to just say, listen, I do this because it's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there is a thrill to it. You know, people ask me, like, wow, why do you do this? It's so scary. I'm like, why do people rock climb mm-hmm. or jump out of airplanes with parachutes? It's the same thing. It's like a thrill.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's people are better off if they just like cop to it. They just like the feeling of being in the scary building and like not knowing what's around the corner. But, you know, growing up the way I did with the stuff happening in my house, there is also that piece where I'm trying to figure out what is hiding around the corner, why it's hiding around the corner, and how I can talk to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's it's a thrill, man. I love it.
And people don't understand the feeling you get when you're in a place and either you see an apparition standing in front of you or you hear something mm-hmm. or, you know, it's, I know my sister says it's sort of like a roller coaster. You know, you spend most of the night going up the hill and then all of a sudden something happens, you know, and that's the thrill.
Yeah. Yep.
And the thrill of the unknown.
That's the big drop where the curves start coming in. Yeah. And you're starting to flip upside down and you start feeling sick in the stomach, literally most sometimes.
Yeah. And bizarre because they can affect you. And I think it all goes back to energy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the one base thing. I'm like, if I tell anybody what I think a ghost is, I some form of energy, mm-hmm. whether it's energy from somebody who lived in the past, you know, so many different things.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely energy. Everything is energy.
Oh, yeah.
But
everything has vibration to it, you know, and that's why we use music a lot, because music is the ultimate vibrational code. And mm-hmm. what do you think of the time slip stuff? I'm so intrigued with that, you know. And Mike Rucksacker, you know Mike, a good friend of ours, with his new book, he brought up something to me, and I've thought about it before, but he's like, "What if there's no such thing as ghosts?" And I always, you know, we know that. You know, there's times when we could be the ghost to them in their time. Right. And that's why when I do my investigations, I always say in my time or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But he brought up a good point is, you know, maybe we're the ghost to them. And what we're seeing is just them in their time. And they're not actually ghosts. Yeah. I mean, what do you think of that?
I think that's definitely a possibility. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess those of us who do this have such open minds. We should be open to any possibility or any theories, but yeah, I think that's true. I mean, I think that's like when people like define hauntings as either like intelligent or residual. Mm-hmm. I think like anything that you experience that's like residual like that, I think that's what it is.
Yeah.
I mean, my personal opinion, I think mm-hmm. they're still in their time doing their business, and they might be repeating that time over and over and over again, but it's their time. They don't see us. Mm-hmm. They don't hear us. They're just in their time slot doing their thing.
Yeah.
And we just happen to be there at the moment they drop something or maybe say something, and the veil is thin enough that we could, you know, hear that reverberation through that. And but I just, you know, even like when you talk about Bigfoot, we had this discussion with Dustin Pari on our show. He's like, well, think about Bigfoot. And like, mm-hmm. what if it's a time slip? What if you're in the woods and for, you know, 30 seconds or 50 seconds or whatever, you think you're witnessing a Bigfoot? What if there's a time slip and you're actually witnessing us before we became the humans that we are?
Yeah.
Like, what if that is, mm-hmm. those are our ancestors from thousands and hundreds, millions of years ago?
Yeah.
And we're like, boom, our heads exploded, you know? It's, mm-hmm. yeah. I mean, it could be any, but I do like residual hauntings, I definitely think are time slips. For sure. I mean, that's my opinion. It's a head scratcher, dude. It's,
yeah.
it makes you think. It's mm-hmm. just a rabbit hole. You can just, I get stuck in this stuff and I think about it all day.
Yeah.
You know, because I drive a lot and I'm yeah. just like,
I mean, how sad would it be if we find out that, you know, how original, residual haunt, you know, we see a little kid walking through and then all of a sudden he's back mm-hmm. and he's walking through again. How sad would yeah. it be for him to be in that existence, knowledgeable, yeah. you know, knowing that he's going to get to this point, all of a sudden he's going to be bang back at this point and redo yeah. it all over again, you know? So,
yeah,
you know, maybe, because even people say, well, they're stuck. I don't think so. Like you said, no. I think it's just a time slip and we're just seeing a moment in time.
Yeah. I think we make imprints. Everything that we do, if it's a traumatic time, like that energy mm-hmm. that we exude during that time, I think that gets imprinted and that energy kind of just stays there and just kind of replays itself over and over again. But if that's happening in the past, like, you know, in your haunted house and, you know, this person died there 100 years ago, you know, that imprint from that person's still there in that time that they're yeah. from, doing it over and over again. Mm-hmm. And you're just happen to be witnessing it for like the split second out of the corner of your eye, or like that quick EVP that doesn't make any sense to what you're asking, but it's definitely not one of your team asking the questions, you know. It's just, oh
yeah.
Gives me shivers thinking about yeah. it. It's exciting.
It reminds me of the, I don't remember what their name is, but God, I can't think of their names, but we see them at all the conventions. They were at the Stanley Hotel and they captured an EVP of the queen, not the queen. Oh, my mind just went blank. But they captured an EVP of this woman.
Mm-hmm.
And you can clearly hear the woman saying, "Hello, who is that? Where are you?" And, yeah. she, you know, in the EVP, they actually played it for the guy. And, you know, it is television, but I was like, it made me think of so many different things because you can clearly hear her say, yeah. "Who is this? This isn't funny. I'm calling security," because they heard them. She heard them yeah. talking. And
oh, wow.
It was a while ago on the TV shows, and I can't remember exactly which show it was, but yeah, it was just so interesting because it made me think of the time slip thing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even if it's an intelligent haunt, that makes a good point. What if they're in their time?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they're not, it's not even like a death thing. It's just they're in their time because they lived there,
yeah.
you know, in the past. What if that time, that just that moment in time, we happened to, that weird like veil thing that's yeah. between us separating our times
mm-hmm.
is super thin and we like are able to interact with each other.
Yeah.
Like it, maybe it's not even a ghost. Like you said, it's just that person in their time happens to see me and question me, or I'm questioning them and we're trying to communicate, but then it shuts on us real quick.
Yeah.
Like a door.
Yeah.
You know, so it's, yeah.
It's like, say, stuff, the man. more we look into this, the less we know.
Yeah. Right. But hey, I've even heard people come up with a theory that we're talking to ourselves. Like we've been there before.
Yeah.
We're just like on our cycle. And then just mm-hmm. at that point in time, we're just like, it's a reflection of ourselves because we've already been there.
Yeah. Like a deja vu that we don't know about.
Yeah.
A deja vu yeah. all over again.
Right.
What's your style of investigating? I mean, some people are provoke, which like Zach, he provokes a lot, stuff like that. But what's your style?
Our style, for the most part, we don't provoke.
Yeah.
We may reenact scenes that we know from the history of the place actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
Like when we were at OSR Mansfield on a private investigation, we were walking up and down the aisles pretending to be prison guards, you know, just telling everybody it's lights out, you know, everybody lights out, lay down, put your books away or whatever. It's time to go to bed or whatever. We weren't being like total jerks. We weren't being like dropping F-bombs and stuff with them, but you know, and then we stop and we observe and we listen for a few minutes. A lot of what we do is just observe and like feel the building and like pay attention to like what's going on with our own bodies when we experience these things.
Okay.
So a lot of it, what we do is observational. And like we do a lot of EVP work, but when we do EVP works, we do a lot of people call burst sessions because none of us have time to go home and listen to like days worth of audio from 10 different recorders. Mm-hmm. We just don't have that time. Plus I think it's great to review the minute you're done with the recording, so everything is fresh in your mind.
Yeah.
Everything is fresh. Like, you know, if somebody coughed because you just happened 10 seconds ago. And just, we listen back. And then if we kind of like all put our headphones on, we listen to our own recordings real quick. If we hear something, we're like, oh, hey. And then, you know, everybody kind of listens to it. And then we compare notes and, just some amazing things we've been able to capture because we do things like right away.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have big expensive pieces of equipment. Most of us just run with the Olympuses that we started with when we started ghost hunting. You know, some of the less high tech stuff kind of works better for us.
Yeah.
Still digital recorder, but mm-hmm. it's not like the one that you plug in your computer and you can edit and all that kind of stuff. You basically, what we usually do is record it on our cell phone so that we can amplify the noise a little bit to make it a little bit louder.
Yeah.
But, we do a lot of EVPs. I have a spirit box that I use. It was one of Jeff Fent's creations. It's actually made out of some Madison Seminary wood that he was able to salvage.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got that kind of connection to it. But it's also, I call it my grandpa box because he was actually able to laser etch my grandfather's military photo from World War II on one side. Yeah, and then it's like a little memorial to him on the other side. So I call it my grandpa box.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny because every time I turn it on, one of the first things that comes through is, hey, Goose. Like, holy crap. So I just, it's like the same male voice every time, and I feel like it's my grandfather coming through.
That's awesome.
So we do that a little bit, but usually by halfway through the night, we're just rolling with our flashlights and just kind of walking around. And, you know, if we feel something weird, we'll sit. And we'll observe and we'll, you know, speak out a little bit, kind of introduce ourselves. We're always very friendly and respectful. I don't believe in provoking. I learned the hard way about provoking earlier on. It was earlier on when we were starting to do public hunts. We were doing one for Madison Seminary. And these hunts, we never keep any of the money. We just let the location. Yeah. I mean, they're letting us use the location. We sell tickets for them. They keep all the money. It's an honor for us to be there. But you also, at the same time, you got people, a lot of people who've never done it before or have, you know, if they know of it, they've only seen what they see on the shows.
Yeah.
So they expect like things to be happening like every 5 minutes or they want their money back. And you kind of feel like a monkey on the stage, like trying to do what they want you to do so they're entertained. So I was getting nervous and I was starting to provoke a little bit. And we were at Madison. We were in the attic, the crazy town attic, as everybody calls it. And something, I never used the P word.
Mm-hmm.
It was not possession.
Yeah.
But I definitely feel, we go back to energy. When you start opening yourself up to negative energy, you're going to soak it up like a sponge, especially if you're more of a sensitive person, which I happen to be. So I'm like, okay, everybody's in their rooms, and I start getting, and I guess I started getting belligerent, and I don't even remember most of it.
Okay.
And I started dropping the F-bombs, and people were just like, I guess people were like getting a little afraid of me. And I got physically violent. I actually threw a punch at my, at towards Heisenberg.
Oh.
Because I was so, I'd let myself get negative.
Mm-hmm.
There is so much negative energy up there. It's not it's not a place to be doing that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Cause I've always been under the belief you get what you put into it, you get back. And if you're going to put something negative into a space, that's going to bounce back and hit you. And it did. Next thing I know, I'm out in the hall of the stairwell, and they're like shaking me, dude, what's wrong? What's wrong? You got to get out of here. So I had to like leave, and I had to like go outside, and I had to sit there for like an hour and just like regain myself. But that was like my first and last time I ever even tried to provoke. Mm. And I don't even think I was provoking on purpose. I was just nervous because these people wanted their money's worth.
Oh yeah.
You know, so it's like, you know, and it's like I said, it was like our first time leading a public ghost hunt. So that taught me a lot. And I don't let myself do that. I keep guarded. I be respectful no matter what kind of location I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a prison, somewhere where people were bad to people. Just, you know, still, you just don't want that coming back at you. Yeah. So we learn a lot, though, just through observation. We've been able to hone our own, like, psychic skills. Like, we've been able to sharpen our sixth sense. There's a couple of us, including myself, that are kind of building our mediumship abilities. I would never like do readings for somebody. That's okay. Not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But I can go into a location, and I've been with people who do that, and they can tell that something is going into my, like going through my head, like I'm seeing or feeling something, and they'll question me, and they usually will validate what I'm feeling or seeing. And that's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
So we're very open. We don't, you know, we don't really have any, like rules as far as what people like equipment people use. I mean, if somebody wants to try something, do it.
Yeah.
Who knows? It might work.
Mm-hmm.
Like even stuff like Ouija boards and stuff. I mean, if you guys want to try it and the location allows it, I mean, we always are respectful for that. Cause a lot of places are like no Ouija boards or, you know, no pendulums or stuff like that. You know, it's just, we're very open. We're family. We're close-knit family, friends. And, you know, we just kind of go with the flow.
Yeah.
Like I said, observational, learning, feeling. We don't provoke. We will ask questions. And if we get a response on an EVP that, you know, makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm like everybody else. Every once in a while, I drop the old stupid question. Did you die here?
Yeah.
You know, like. Who's going to respond to that? Like, what are you talking about? For all we know, they're not dead.
Exactly.
Like we said, there might be a time lapse.
Yeah.
So, you know, then you got them freaking out on the other side thinking like, I died? What's happening?
Yeah, this ghost is telling me I died.
Yeah, right. So, yeah. I mean, that was a long version of what we are, but
yeah,
it's kind of morphed throughout time, and I think all teams kind of go through that change.
Mm-hmm.
And they change their methods.
I think it's important for people to hear that too, though. Because,
you
know, we do know the people that are on the shows, and we understand that those shows, I mean, like Ghost Adventures could take 3 months to do an episode.
Yeah.
You know, they have the continuity people that come in, make sure their shirts are all the same, you know. They may go to a location, spend a week at a location, go to a different location, and come back. You know, it's not, you know, there are nights where we've gone into places where, I mean, before we can even get out of the car, stuff was happening. And it happens all night. But most of the time, you're sitting in a dark, dirty building waiting for one little knock. But when that knock happens or when that safe door opens that weighs 10,000 pounds or whatever, you know, that's what you're there for.
Yeah. And even if it is like something as small as like a 2-second EVP that you can't. There's no way that it was anybody else around you, or, you know, you can't explain it any normal way. That's the immediate hook to like, I want to come back again as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, and I feel like if you go to a place enough, like we go to Madison all the time and we love that place. And it almost gets to be like, you have a rapport with the spirits. Like they know who you are and you know, they feel more comfortable interacting with you. And then, you know, especially with places like Madison who bring in like furniture and stuff, historical stuff from other locations that people donate, or they bring antiques in, then you got a whole new clientele of spirits to talk to, you know, because you never know what's attached to those things.
So. Yeah.
It's always learning. Mm-hmm. That's one of the funnest things about it. So I'm always learning.
And like I say, we get to go into places that normals, I shouldn't say that, but other people can't get into. I mean,
oh, yeah.
I mean, we're obviously not normal, but, you know.
Yeah, I you know, like the society, the historical society I was talking about, we're the only team that, I mean, I could just, like, I can call them, like, on a Friday night and listen, my team wants to do some research and investigate. Mm-hmm. Let us in. He's like, yeah.
Yeah.
He's, like, this close to giving us our own key.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because we did, and we raised a lot of money for them with a public ghost hunt. And they, the historical society we work with is so cool. So the main building there, that has always been there. That was like the first like kind of bigger house in Shalersville, Ohio. They had actually found and located the very first cabin, like the initial settlers of that area were sent in that they lived in. It was like a single room cabin. It was actually built, it was extended into a larger house, but that house became abandoned. So it was just sitting there rotten. Hmm. So they tore the main house down and they lifted the cabin and brought it to that location.
Okay.
So you have the main house, and then now you have the original Baker cabin behind it.
Oh, that's cool.
And you know, we had a fundraiser because they renovated it. And they did it like in the actual time pattern it would have been in. And it looks, so it's got all the antiques. It's got like the same style of bed you would have seen in that time. And then they got like a little barn attached to it now. That's has all kinds of like antique farm equipment that would have been used in that same time era.
Okay.
So it's just like really cool. And now I was just past there the other day because, and this is a cool thing about historical societies too. People will own buildings and they know it's historical and they're like, listen, we don't want to lose this thing. We can't renovate it ourselves. So they donate it to the historical society. So they just found a schoolhouse that was being used for storage. It was like falling apart. It was like one of the first schoolhouses in the area. So again, they took it apart piece by piece, moved it to where the historical society museum is, and they've rebuilt it. Hmm. And like using the original wood and everything.
Yeah.
And it's just, it is so cool. I mean, I love it.
Is it an active place?
I don't remember
place?
What we were originally talking about. Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, that's, well, the main house itself, that's probably the best EVPs I've ever gotten.
Okay.
We were doing like a burst, like a 2-minute burst session. I had set my recorder down in a separate room. We were all in another room together. So we were all accounted for. And we were just asking questions. I knew the names of the family members that were there. So it's kind of going through all mall and just asking them if anybody was with us at the time.
Yeah.
You know, I wasn't asking, did you die here?
Uh-huh.
Did you get sick? You know, I was just asking them if they were with us. And I had gotten to, one of the girls, that had lived there is one of the owner's daughters. And you could hear, I'm like, are you with us? And she's like, when we listened to it back, we're like, where are you? Like, she was hearing us, but she couldn't see us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like looking at everybody. It was right by the recorder because you can hear us in the other room.
Yeah.
There was definitely a lot of distance in the sound, but she was like right on top of that recorder. Like, where are you? And we're like, holy crap.
Yeah.
But the cool thing is too, we kept questioning. We got another EVP, but I had heard it audibly myself. Me and another one of our investigators, we heard like the disembodied voice. And we listened to it back and it was exactly the same thing.
Hmm.
And it was. So it's like EVPs. We push record and we'll just leave the house and walk outside and just be really quiet.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll come back in and we play the recording back. There's like, sounds like doors opening and shutting and like, people walking up and down the hallway. It's just, it's nuts.
That's crazy.
It's, and it's such a small house too.
Yeah.
And we in the Baker cabin, we heard disembodied voices. It was so weird because we were inside running a quiet, a silent EVP session where we just lay the recorder down and let it go. But we heard gentlemen talking right outside the door. I'm like, what the hell? So we go outside, but we left the recorder inside. And then when we reviewed it, we heard gentlemen, those same gentlemen talking back on the recorder.
Oh,
like, so cool. So like, yeah, it's a cool place, man.
Do you think that's the original people from that house, or do you think it's traveling spirits?
It's hard to tell because that area was kind of known for its, it was people passing through. I mean, this was all during the settlement of Northeast Ohio. Okay. So it's hard to tell. I mean, plus that house has passed through so many hands.
Yeah.
You know, since it's been built, You know, the Eldridge family and the Poots family were the original two families, but then, I mean, it's been owned by like maybe five or six more families since then. So it's hard to tell.
And then
it's right by, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, then all the people that visit over the years, you know, that have passed or whatever, you know?
Yeah. And then again, also there's so many things that like antiques that have been donated. You know, there was a gentleman that was like, he wasn't a member of the staff, but he was just a member of the Historical Society, but he spent so much time there. And like, I guess when his mother passed, he just donated like almost all her stuff to the Historical Society. So you got all her stuff there. Like there's a phonograph player. There's one of those, what do they call them? Those pianos that have the reel that play the
player the piano
by themselves. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The player piano, really cool stuff. And I guess he was also, he had some Native American in him, cause he was a, what they called a dowser or had a divining rod. Mm-hmm. And Shalersville is known for its minerals because there's a lot of like sand and gravel mining areas around it in Shalersville. But people would call him up and like, listen, we're trying to tap into this our natural spring on our property. And he would go out with his divining rod that he just cut out of a branch and he would use it like we use dowsing rods to talk to spirits. And he would connect with the earth and find like where they could dig into the spring. And they would dig and they were there it was.
Yeah.
I mean, he was very gifted with that. Mm-hmm. And his divining rods are still there.
Okay.
Because his family donated it to when he passed away. And his name was Mr. Gates. I couldn't remember his name.
Okay.
Well, you pick that up and you could just feel the energy. Like you almost feel like it was shaking.
Yeah.
Like you'd tell it was a powerful tool that he was using. And they have a bunch of Native American artifacts in there. So it's just so many different things.
Yeah, and I used to always think that they would hold the divining rod, the Y-style one,
that's what it was.
I don't know how to show you, but
yeah,
I always thought they just held like that, but they don't. They hold it up like that, and it freaked me out the first time I ever seen someone use it where they're walking along, all of a sudden the thing just went smack, and he's like, right there.
Yeah.
I'm like, holy crap.
Yeah, and they nail it too, especially, I mean, if they're not trying to scam people, but most of them, back then they knew what they were doing.
Yeah. And even now, you know, like when I use ours, I'll use ours and I'll feel electricity in my fingers.
Yeah.
And you know, like, cause I clean off grave sites and there's lots of times you come in and there's just it looks like a field and it's all grave sites. And when I'm looking for a specific one, I'll use my dowsing rods and it's hard to explain, but it's so weird that they work so well. Because it's energy and it's intent, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it took me a long time to be comfortable using them just because I always thought it was just me, like, you know, like subconsciously moving them to where I want them to be to answer the question. So I worked with some different people, and I think it was Michelle Bellinger that I was working with. She used to be on Paranormal State. She's like a local, she's on a bunch of shows. She actually worked with me for a few minutes, like told me how to hold them properly, kind of tied up to my chest, just barely touch them with your thumb so you can keep somewhat control of them, but loose enough that they can move if they need to. So it took me a while. I'm the same way with the Ouija board. I love Ouija boards and I make them myself, but I rarely use them because I don't trust, like it's not us subconsciously moving them.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things.
Yeah.
So I go with EVP where I could like push record, walk back. And I know I'm not touching it. Yeah. I know I'm not saying anything. It's just more controlled that way. But
I think it's called what, the automatic nervous response or something.
Yeah. Yeah. But I love using pendulums. I do use those. And I do use the dowsing rods every once in a while when I'm feeling fancy.
That's like me. I just keep it easy. I don't set up 100 recorders or running cables all over. It's like, use your body, use your emotions, and like you said earlier.
Yeah, when we first started out, we did that and we'd waste an hour and a half, 2 hours of our investigation time that we paid for. Yeah. Now we all have like one case that we bring with us, and usually it's just my spirit box, and you know, it has pockets in front, so I smash my flashlight and my recorder down there, and that's all I take.
Yeah. So and that's all you need, because it's how you feel. And, you know, we don't need to be out showing everybody on Facebook and all that. You know, it's like just enjoy the moment and learn from the moment and enjoy having that response of the spirits. You know?
I always tell people now when I do public ghost hunts, I'm like, I know you're following me around, but I always try to make them sure that they're like able to do what they want to do. If they have a question or if they, you know, I want them to, like you said, enjoy it and just be natural with it.
Yeah.
Don't sit in the corner and be quiet and like wait for something to scratch me. You know, it's just like be a part of it. Like if I'm asking EVP questions and you have something you're thinking about, go ahead and ask it. Mm-hmm. You know, have fun. But I don't have all the tech that you guys want me to have. I'm sorry.
Because like you said earlier, we don't have time. Okay, so you got six cameras running on a 6-hour night. You're going to spend all that time and you can't just watch a video like this. You got to watch and really focus.
Yeah. You got to be like right up on the screen. Uh-huh. We did that. And there would be times where I'd like have to like rub my eyes and go wash my face and go back and watch that same damn video over and over again. Cause I thought I saw a little speck of something in the corner, and it was probably more than likely nothing.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just, we don't do that. And it's too much to care. Just so much more fun just walking in and enjoying the building come to life. And it, like I said, it's a thrill.
Yeah.
It's a thrill.
Yeah. And the feeling, I mean, talk about a rush when you're walking through a building, all of a sudden you see, bam, there's something standing in front of you, or you see something walk past. You're like,
yeah.
And a lot of people say, if you don't have it on tape, it didn't happen. I'm like, it happened. Trust me.
And I can't tell you how many times we've had something happen to us, and I always had that camera pointing the opposite way.
Yeah, yeah.
Like our door shut right in my face.
Yeah.
No rhyme or reason to it. We were just asking spirit to communicate with us, and boom. I'm like, oh, sweet. And I looked at the camera, and I'm like, oh, no.
Yeah.
It's pointed to the opposite door on the other side of the hallway. I'm like, you know what? Screw this. I'm done.
Yep.
Well, I think that's why people also like live streaming, because then it's just constantly running.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like there. And it, you know, it gets a lot of notice for their teams. And
yeah. I got mixed emotions on that, because for one, I would love to share stuff with people, share my experiences. Yeah. But yet also I don't want to put that out to where I have to do that. So here, look at us. You know, it's like, I just want to enjoy it. But I also, the person in me wants to, here, look at this. I'll put my camera up, you know.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I love sharing it with people.
Yeah, like, I want emotions.
People to get. Yeah, but then, you know, your live stream, you got to be prepared for the trolls and you know, them saying stupid things, and or the people that, you know, the dime store psychics that want you to do, like, just do the investigation for them. You know, it's just, I don't know. It has its ups and downs. We don't do a whole lot of it. I enjoy it. Like, we do it a couple times. In May, we're going to be doing a live investigation from the old Licking County Jail.
Oh, cool. Yeah,
so we're going to do that. We'll probably do a couple other things, but mostly we just like doing the show, and we like coming to live, like doing events, like paranormal conventions.
Yeah.
We're the only live stream team that's going to be able to go live from HillCon.
Okay.
I talked to the lady who owns that. She wants us to do some live streams and interviews from within the actual convention.
Yeah.
Nobody besides their team has the rights to do like the rest of the building, like the tours and the walkthroughs. But
that's cool.
That's a great, and you know, we get a vendor table and stuff. It's just going to be fun. So, and we enjoy it, but I enjoy what we do no matter what.
And it's, I mean, it's great seeing you at all the conventions too. And I you guys travel a lot. I mean,
we try to.
Yeah. What's on the agenda? I mean, what big events are you going, or I shouldn't say big events, but what events are you going to in the next few months?
So, the big one, I guess, is Parasycon in May. We got that coming up.
Okay. Yeah. We'll be there.
Yep. We have, I can't even remember some of these things, man. We got something happening in April, but we got Hillcon. I think that's in, I don't have the exact dates, but we're Hillcon.
Yeah.
That's later this year. I want to say it's in August.
Okay.
September is MadCon at Madison Seminary. That's a really fun one. That's like a family reunion every year. And it's all, we're raising funds for the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation.
Oh, cool.
This is the seventh one we've had. We've raised a ton of money throughout all of them. And it's worth just to come for the raffles, because we put together some awesome raffles. I mean, there's equipment, there's art, there's all kinds of cool stuff. And locations donate like free investigations or tours. It's really cool. And actually, that is actually what's also coming up in June. Last year at MadCon, our team won a investigation at Wildwood Sanitarium up in Salamanca. So we got that coming up. Let's see, Hillcon, and then there's Hope Paracon in October. I'm sorry. I'm getting everything mixed up.
Yeah.
Which is another, it's a smaller convention, but that's also at Wildwood.
Okay.
And then we're going to be doing a lot of like just local stuff. You know, we'll see what happens. We still got plenty of open space to fill up, but we're going, this is probably the busiest we've been so far, and it just keeps adding.
Good.
So
yeah,
it's good.
And like I said, we've cut back a lot. We used to, just about every weekend we were at a different convention, and it really gets on, you know. I mean, I'm on the road with the band too, you know, with my best friend Dana's band. We do a lot of traveling with them, and it gets to you after a while. I mean, but it's weird,
and then,
because,
you know, you're taken away from investigation time too.
Yeah.
So it's like, I'd rather spend weekends investigating some days, you know. I'll do like a couple conventions a year, but then I'd rather be out there investigating and doing things for the show.
Yeah. It's so weird me going to, because I'm visiting a lot of conventions now. And which, like you said, it opens up me to go to the convention and then check out different stuff in the town. But it's so weird because when I'm at these conventions, I don't know what to do because I'm just wandering around.
I went to one convention last year just as a spectator, and I just like, all right. I know all these people already, so it's like I might as well have just set up a vendor table.
Yeah,
you know, and just because I like it was at Fairfield. It was the FCI Con, which is another fundraiser.
Okay,
run by the same the owner of Madison and FCI. He also helps run like the Indiana State Sanitarium in Billy Creek Village out in Indiana. Adam Kimmel, pretty well known in the paranormal field. But yeah, that's another, you know, local con that he has, and that's been another big fundraiser. But I just went there as a spectator because I didn't feel like lugging all my stuff, and I wasn't really sure if the rest of the crew was going to be able to be there. So it was just kind of a busy time. So like, you know what, I got the weekend, I'll go check it out. And I got there and I'm like, oh, this is cool. And I, you know, but yeah, it's,
yeah, after a little while,
I don't know what to do with myself.
Going in a circle, I'm like, what do I do?
You know? Yeah. Oh, nothing new here, I see. I'll move on.
Yeah. Are you going to be at Michigan Paracon this year?
No.
No?
I'm going to make plans to try to do that next year.
Okay.
That's been on my radar since we started this thing. It's just one of those things I got to really prep for. It's a big, huge event.
Yeah.
You know, it's a little bit of moolah that I don't normally have, so...
Yeah. But I tell you what, like you mentioned, it's like the other one, it's a family reunion. I mean, people say, well, who's there? I'm like, everybody except for Zach, you know, everybody is there.
Yeah. Oh, and it is.
I don't go to Michigan Paracon for the Paracon. You go for the party afterwards.
That's what I hear. And that's one of the big reasons I want to go, because everybody I talk to is like, oh yeah, I got to meet him at Michigan Paracon. Like, you know, Oh yeah, I met John Tenney at Michigan Paracon. Yeah. I sat down and had a beer with Dustin Parry and, you know, whoever. Mm-hmm. It's just like, that sounds amazing. You know, it just sounds like a weekend of fun. But again, it's like if I'm a spectator, I mean, that would be nice to be a spectator.
That one is.
There is so much to do.
Mm-hmm. If
I go, I may just go to like be a part of it and just kind of see what, and hang out with friends.
Yeah. One of my big moments at Michigan Paracon was they have breakfast right there at the casino. I walk in and I'm sitting there getting my stuff, and Stanton Freeman comes up to me. He's like, "Where's the coffee at?" And I'm like, "It's right over there." And it's like I'm geeking out because it's like Stanton Freeman.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Okay, I'll be over there if you want to take my order." He thought I worked there. I'm like, "Oh, okay."
No.
And I'm like, "Oh, cool." But later on, he was sitting across from us. I'm like, "Hey, you want to be on the show?" And he's like, "When?"
Yeah.
I'm like, "Whenever you want." And he's like, "How about now?" And I'm like, "Okay." And in my mind, I'm going, "Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. What do I do? What do I do?"
Do you guys do your live show from there?
No, we don't do live. Just record. That's one of the things we do at all the conventions is we bring all our equipment. We actually interview people, like you said earlier, and it's on the fly. You know, I'll do a little bit of research on someone, you know, but I just let them sit down and we just start asking questions and see how it flows, you know?
Yeah. It's fun. I love mm-hmm. it, dude.
But Goose, this has been great. Unfortunately, we come to the end of the hour but this is fun. This is definitely fun. And I'm going to see you at Parasycon. Maybe
I'll be there.
Duct tape you to the chair and we'll interview you again. And, you know,
but you don't really have to ask too hard for me to want to talk.
Yeah. And, have fun at all the other conventions that you're going to. It sounds like a good time. And like I said,
it sounds like you guys got a lot coming up too. So you guys have a blast.
Yeah. We cut back a lot because Jen got a new job and she doesn't really have time off, but I'm going to be visiting a lot. I'll see you at a lot of conventions, but thanks for coming on.
Cool.
I just want to tell the listener, the Cryptic Paranormal Show is on every Thursday night from 8 till 9 o'clock. The link will be in the show notes of this show. I'll drop the link in, but you can go to their Facebook page, the Cryptic Paranormal Show. You'll find it and check it out. It's a great show with Heisenberg, the Goose, and D-Nice. Like I said, a great show. They really gel together good, and you're going to really enjoy it. But thanks a lot, man, for coming on. I really enjoyed this.
I appreciate you having me. I really do. Thank you so much.
We'll talk to you later.
All right, bud.
Bye-bye. All right. And listener, thank you for listening this week. And if you're watching us on YouTube, thanks for watching. Like always, everything we talk about is in the show notes. Just click on the links in the show notes for Goose's show, the Cryptid Paranormal Show. I'll put the link in the show notes. Well, also, we have links for our Patreon page in the show notes. Also, our website. And today's show is sponsored by Jen's Closet. If you want to get some great clothing at very low discounts, check out Jen's Closet. It's her Poshmark closet. And the link's in the description. So thank you for listening this week. And we will talk to you next week. Goodbye, everyone.